This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
You're different. And I said, oh, that's such a long time ago. I can't remember. Can't even remember what it was like. But then he said, okay, so if what would you do different if it was 20 years ago, if you could go back 20 years? And my first thought was, when he said the 20 years, I couldn't think for primary school, but when he said the 20 years, my first thought was I would make sure, I would do all that I possibly could to make sure that my children knew how much I love them. And, you know, this is just a word for parents. Let your children know how much you love them because it's gone so quickly. But as I thought on it, the other thought that I had, you know, if I was back in primary school again, if I was that young again, I would love to know God. At that age, I would love to take the opportunity to know him as I know him now, so that it wouldn't be a lifelong, you know, learning to know him, but I could know him from a child, to know the Father from the age of, you know, 8 or 10 or whatever. It would be such a blessing. I'm so glad that I know my Saviour now. I'm so glad that I know the Lord. I'm so grateful that he saved me. I am so blessed. And I've often thought, God, why did you save me out of all my family? I don't know why he did that. You know, out of all my family, up until recently, I've been the only one that was saved. I think, why did you do that, God? Why me? Anyway, that was one thought that I've had in just preparing for today. That conversation really spoke to me. Another thing that spoke to me in recent times was towards... I'm ringing. Yeah. I'll try not to. Towards the end of last year, we watched the movie The Avatar. How many haven't seen that movie? Okay, all right, so I'll explain a little bit. There's these blue people who live on another planet. They're big blue people. Anyway, the humans are there and they're mining. They're trying to exploit the mining wealth. But one of the guys, one of the humans, his name's Jake Sully, they have this facility where they can put on these bodies of the blue people. Anyway, he gets to go and live with them. And the chief tells his daughter that she has to teach him what it is to live like a... I don't know what their name is, like one of those people who live on that planet. And the comment is made, and I can't remember whether it's her that says it or somebody else, but they say it's talking about the sky people. That's what they call the humans. They said, sky people are difficult to teach because their cup is already full. And that comment, I wrote that down because it really spoke to me. They think they already know everything, so they're difficult to teach. And it made those two things together made me think about what it is to be blessed. Do we, as Christians, recognise our true blessings? We talk about how blessed we are to live in this nation of Australia, how blessed we are. We do say that, we're blessed. But the question that I have is, are we so full of our material blessings, of our comfort and our safety, that we can't see or don't fully understand the real blessings that are ours? Are we too occupied with maintaining and holding on to those material blessings or those so-called blessings that we can't or we won't give out of the abundant life that we have and be a blessing to others? Another thought, are there times when we're so preoccupied with what we don't have that we can't see what we do have? Are there times when our material blessings start to fail, when our world starts to fall apart, or they don't sustain us as we expected or hoped them to, and we find our faith shaken? You know, we sang a song last week, we'll still stand when our whole world fails. Will we really? Jesus said in Luke 18, he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? These are all thoughts that have been going through my head. So the challenge that God spoke to me was to recognise how blessed I truly am, to recognise what the real blessings are, to count your blessings. It's a song. It's an old, old song. You know, count your blessings one by one. So I looked it up. I looked up that song, Count Your Blessings, and I'll just read out the words to you. It says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And the chorus says, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Verse 2 says, "Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end." That was written by Johnson Oatman Jr. over 100 years ago. But it's true today. Do we? Says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." We are blessed. We are blessed abundantly because of what Jesus has done. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God of our Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." We are blessed. And then, of course, there's Matthew 5 with the Beatitudes, which we'll get to in just a moment. There's so much scripture, I could go on and on and on, that talks about what it is to be blessed, how we are blessed, why we are blessed. Anyway, another thing that I came across, and this was just last week, it's a blog written by a man called Scott Dan Miller. He's an American who speaks to corporate America, leadership skills and that sort of thing. He's a little bit flippant, but I like the intent of what he's trying to say. And he titled it "The One Thing That Christians Should Stop Saying." He says this: "I was on the phone with a good friend the other day. After covering important topics like disparaging each other's mothers and retelling semi-factual tales from our college days, our conversation turned to the mundane. 'So how's work going?' his friend said." I won't read every little bit. He said, "I answered my buddy's question with, 'Definitely feeling blessed. Last year was the best year yet for my business and it looks like this year will be just as busy.' The words rolled off my tongue without a second thought, like reciting the Pledge of Allegiance or placing my usual lunch order at McDonald's. But it was a lie." Okay, so he goes on to say, "Last year was the best year yet for my business. Things are looking busy in 2014. This was written at the beginning of last year. But he says, "That's not a blessing. I've noticed a trend among Christians, myself included, and it troubles me. Our rote response to material windfalls is to call ourselves blessed, like the amen at the end of a prayer. 'This car is such a new blessing. Finally closed on my house, feeling blessed. Just got back from a missions trip, realised how blessed we are in this country.' Now on the surface," he says, "this phrase seems harmless, faithful even. Why wouldn't I want to give God the glory for everything I have? Isn't that the right thing to do?" He says, "No." He says, "As I reflected on my feeling blessed comment, two thoughts came to mind. I realise I'm splitting hairs here, creating an argument over semantics. But bear with me, because I believe it's important. It's one of those things we can't see because it's so culturally ingrained that it has become normal. It has to stop," he says, "and here's why. First, when I say my material fortune is the result of God's blessings, it reduces the Almighty to some sort of skybound, wish-granting fairy who spends his days randomly bestowing cars and cash upon his followers. I can't help but draw parallels to how I handed out M&Ms to my own kids when they did what I asked them. Sure, God wants us to continually seek his will, and it is for our own good. But positive reinforcement? God's not a behavioural psychologist. Second, and more importantly, calling myself blessed because of material good fortune is just plain wrong. For starters, it can be offensive to the hundreds of millions of Christians in the world who live on less than $10 a day. You read that right. Hundreds of millions who receive a single-digit dollar blessing per day. During our year in Guatemala, Gabby, that's his wife, and I witnessed firsthand the damage done by the theology of prosperity, where faithful people scraping by to feed their families were simply told that they must not be faithful enough. If they were, God would pull them out of their nightmare. Just try harder, and God will show you favour. the problem, he says. Nowhere in Scripture are we promised worldly ease in return for our pledge of faith. In fact, the most devout saints from the Bible usually died penniless, receiving a one-way ticket to prison or death by torture. Okay, so he says, if we're looking for the definition of blessing, Jesus spells it out clearly in Matthew 5, 1 to 12. And this is the Beatitudes. Let me read them to you. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. And he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, or the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So here it is, written in red, plain as day, he says. Even still, we ignore it all when we hijack the word blessed to make it fit neatly into our modern American ideals, creating a cosmic lottery where every sincere you pray buys another scratchy. In the process, we stand the risk of alienating those we're hoping to bring to the faith. And we have to stop playing the game, he says. The truth is, I have no idea why I was born where I was or why I have the opportunity I have. It's beyond comprehension. But I certainly don't believe God has chosen me above others because of the veracity of my prayers or the depth of my faith. Still, if I take advantage of the opportunities set before me, a comfortable life may come my way. It's not guaranteed. But if it does happen, I don't believe Jesus will call me blessed. He'll call me burdened. He'll ask, what will you do with it? Will you use it for yourself? Will you use it to help? Will you hold it close for comfort? Will you share it? So many hard choices, so few easy answers. He says, so my prayer today is that I understand my true blessing. It's not my house or my job or my standard of living. My blessing is this. I know a God who gives hope to the hopeless. I know a God who loves the unlovable. I know a God who comforts the sorrowful. And I know a God who has planted this same power within me, within all of us. And for this blessing, may our response always be, use me. And he says at the last, since I had this conversation, my new response is simply, I'm grateful. That man was Scott Dan Miller. He's an American. So that really spoke to me. What are our true blessings? Another thing, just before I go on, that God showed me as I've been thinking about today, and it was before I read this actually, it was during a time of prayer, and I can't even remember specifically where I was, but I saw these two pictures, and there was a picture, and it was a beautiful sunny day. We were out in the open. It was a lovely open area. It was a huge field. There were trees all around. There were birds singing. The sky was blue. And these people were in worship. We were in worship. We were just worshiping and praising the God, being blessed and blessing him. But beside that, I saw another picture. And it was dark, and it was of a lost, lone soul in a pit, in misery, without hope, and with no one to show them the way. Such a stark contrast. Both of them so real. We are blessed. We are so blessed. But it's so that we can be a blessing. Lord, use me. God, use me. Power is available to us because we believe. Power to see others saved. I love this scripture, and I'll read it a bit later in Romans. Oh, the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of God. But we have to share it. Count your blessings. So I want to challenge you all today. I want to challenge us all to take time this week to think on the blessing of God in our lives. Not to think about what we don't have or what we would like to have, but on what we do have. Our glass is not half empty. It's not even half full, but it's overflowing with the goodness and the abundance of God in our lives. God's goodness towards us is not proven by our circumstances. It's not proven by the situation we find ourselves in at the moment. The love and the goodness of God is not revealed to us by how much we have materially. And it's not even proven by how much other people love us and show kindness to us. The love of God has been shown to us throughout all eternity, and in particular when Jesus set his face and went to the cross. Let me read to you from Hebrews 12. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus went to the cross for the joy of bringing us into right relationship with God. What a blessing. What a blessing. And yet look what he paid. Look at the price that he paid. We have to lay aside every sin. We live in perilous times. Don't let your love grow cold. Luke 18 again, verse 1 says, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, "Pray always and never give up." And the verse 8 again, it says, "When he returns, will he find faith in the earth?" Don't let our love grow cold. It can happen. Jesus went to the cross for the joy of bringing us into right relationship with God. He did it for us. He did it for you and me, for every single one of us. He did it for the whole world. Count your blessings. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians 1, and I'll read from verse 3 through to verse 14, but I'm going to read it in the message, so you might want to just listen. How are we blessed? Listen to this. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled us on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything. He provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, it's in Christ this message of your salvation, found that you found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Jesus went to the cross, he died, and he gave everything for us, and then we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our freedom and our rest was won on the cross. What a blessing. What a blessing. Take time to count your blessings and revel in the love of God that he has for us. And as we do this, we can't help but express our love to him. As we revel in him, as we rejoice in him, how can you not give back in praise to him? He is awesome in majesty. He's beautiful in splendor. There's so much beauty in him. We hear him in the music. We see him in the majesty of the waves crashing on the shore. We see him in the mountains and the trees. We see him in children playing. He's all around us. He's in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's my hiding place. He's my safe refuge. He's my anchor in the storm. I will exalt you, Lord. We can be confident in God. We can be confident in God. Not in ourselves. Not in the world's blessings. And this is humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I think it's interesting that that's the first one that's listed there. Blessed are the humble. We're righteous in God. We're not self-righteous. It's not something that we've achieved. We're saved by grace. Grace, that we get what we don't deserve. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by anything that we've done. Hasn't the Lord been good to us? That's a song. Hasn't the Lord been good to us? Hasn't the Lord been good? What have I done to deserve all this? There's nothing that we could do. And yet you hear that phrase, you know, I've worked really hard. I deserve a break. I've done all this. I deserve. We could be so self-centered, but all that we have is as filthy rags before God. Our self-righteousness is as filthy rags before God. There's nothing that we can do. So when we go before him, we don't go before him with presumption. We don't deserve what he's given to us. We expect of God, but not because of our goodness, but because of his mercy. We don't get what we do deserve. And because of his grace, we get what we don't deserve, his goodness. In the same way that I say count your blessings, think about this. Do we understand how far, how hopeless we would be but for his love and his mercy? And that is humbling. But that's where we receive the blessing, when we recognise how futile any attempt on our part to be righteous is, because it's all about him. It's all about what he's done. Scripture came to mind, 2 Corinthians 7:14, I think it is. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Prayer is a key part in our relationship with God. Can our blessings go to God in prayer? Talk to him. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. He's God. He's God and we're not. So in reference to prayer, being blessed calls for a response. There is a response required. You know, we've been given so abundantly. Let's give back to God in prayer. Our God is God. He is Lord. We are blessed. So let me just give you a little list of some of the things that I was thinking about in saying, how am I blessed? I'm blessed because God loves me. God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who knows the end from the beginning, the creator of heaven and earth, loves me. I'm blessed because God, who holds everything in his hands, God who is eternal from everlasting to everlasting, God who has no beginning and no end, God who is everywhere all the time, God who is omnipotent, he is all-powerful, and God who is omniscient, he knows all things. God who has no limitations loves me. God who is sovereign ruler over all things loves me. God who is glorious and victorious, holy and faithful and just and true and righteous, God loves me. I'm blessed because God who is good and gracious and merciful, God who created us in his image, loves me. I'm blessed because God who knows my every thought, even before I think it, God who knows everything I've ever done, good and bad, and the choices, he even knows the choices I'm yet to make. God loves me. I'm blessed because God who gave everything, who gave his only son to die for my sin, loves me. I'm blessed because God who came in the form of a man and who died a horrific death in my place, loves me. I'm blessed because God who made a way for me to know him and to have relationship with him, loves me. I'm blessed because God who holds my future in his hands loves me. God who has made a way for me to spend eternity with him loves me. I'm blessed because God who has prepared a place where there'll be no more crying, no more sorrow, a place of beauty, a place of peace, a place of joy. He's prepared a place for me to be with him always. God loves me. I'm blessed. Every day of my life, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. And I'm even blessed when I'm asleep. These are the blessings that are mine, and there is so much of God. God is so big that there's more than enough for all the lost and the lonely and the hurt and the suffering people around us.
Blessed are the merciful, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the persecuted and insulted for righteousness' sake. We are so blessed, but we have to distribute it far and wide. We have to share it with the world. We have to let people know that there is a place of safety, a place of refuge. We've received in such abundance. The word says, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Let me finish. Oh, gone over. Let me finish just by reading from Romans 8. Romans 8, and this is my favourite portion of scripture, from verse 31 to 39 says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honour at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed every day, we're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears today for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. God is good and he has blessed us abundantly. So as I said, think this week on the blessings of God that are ours. Just take time to think about how much he loves you and in return go back to him and say, God, you are so good. Spend time with God, just reveling in his love. Amen. We're going to close now. If anybody would like prayer, please come forward. And if you've never said to the Lord, yes, you are my God, take time today to do that. Come forward. We'd love to pray with you. If you've never said to Jesus, Jesus, you are my Lord, be my Lord, Lord of my life, today is a day that you can do that. Today is a day that you can say yes to God. Today is a day, the first day of the rest of your life, as they say. Today is a day when we can know, when you can know the love of God, what it is to be in relationship with him. So if you've never asked Jesus to be Lord and you would like to do that today, please come forward and we'd love to pray with you. But I'm going to close in prayer now. God, we thank you that you have blessed us so abundantly. There's so much that we can give praise to you for. God, we love you. But thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you brought us into this place of knowing you. Thank you, God, for the peace that there is in knowing you. Thank you, Lord, for the joy, for the confidence, for the assurance that there is in knowing you. Thank you, God, that you have made everything right with us because of through Jesus, Lord. Thank you that in relationship with you, God, you set before us, Lord, such an array of splendor, God. You set before us so much peace and so much joy. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, for each one here today. God, I pray your blessing on every family represented here. God, I pray your hand upon each one of us throughout this week, Lord, that we would know what it is to be blessed by you. God, be glorified in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.com.